Welcome to the weekend. I'm Angela Kocherga. The University of Texas at El Paso released its 10-year strategic plan recently. It focuses on strengths, but also the challenges ahead for UTEP and students seeking a higher education in our region. University President Heather Wilson joined me in the KTEP studios to talk about the strategic plan, community engagement, that cyber intrusion, and UTEP's newly hired men's basketball coach.
The university had not updated its strategic plan for about 10 years, and so it was kind of overdue. We gathered together a core team of 26 people from across the university, faculty, staff, students from all of the colleges and support functions to really guide a strategic planning effort to say, all right, who are we, where are we, and how do we focus our efforts going forward over the next 10 years. And it started before the pandemic, slowed a little at the beginning of the pandemic, thinking we would be back fairly soon. And then we decided that we had to press forward. And so we did. I think the team did a really good job. And a good strategic plan has a really solid foundation in who we are, but also imagines who we can become. And they did a lot of work to say, what are our strategic advantages? What is it that we have that's hard for anybody else to replicate? And how can we build on that? And I actually think that's probably the most important work that was done in this plan. So the first is to leverage our place. And we live in this unique, binational, bilingual, multicultural community that's been a pathway for trade for 400 years. So leveraging our place as an urban university in far west Texas, building on the unique diversity of our people. You know, I was talking to a student just last week and helping him with his resume, you know. And here's a kid who is fluently bilingual, mechanical engineer, has done all these interesting and great things, did not even put on his resume that he was bilingual, because everybody is. And I said, no, you're not. That's not true. Only here. So building on the unique diversity of our people, which is unusual and it's a strength. Reinforcing our culture of care. This community and this university have a real focus on meeting students where they are and helping them succeed. And not all research universities are that way. And so building on that culture of care, which reflects the community around us, was a real strength. And then finally, the strengthening our engagement and building strong partnerships. We're a Class 1 research university, so as far as research goes, we're in the top 5% of universities in the country. We are also a Carnegie-engaged university, so a community-engaged university. Those two things don't often exist together. And so deepening our partnerships with the community was also something that came out as a strength on which to build.
Let me ask you about something that we've talked about in the past, and it's really a nationwide issue, and you had a good term for it, the Lost Boys. These are students who could have come to the university, had been accepted, but kind of disappeared, especially as we move to that remote learning option. What do you think's happening there, and how do you tackle that?
Well, this was the class that graduated during the pandemic, and we're also worried about the class that's graduating this May and making sure that they continue on to getting meaningful post-high school credential. And that may mean coming to UTEP, it may be coming to EPCC, but the jobs of the 21st century are going to need more education than our parents or grandparents had. And so we have kept track of those students, and we are re-recruiting them to the university. And I think there was a cohort, a group of students who applied, they went through orientation, they did everything but and they were accepted, they were qualified for financial aid, the whole bit, but they didn't register for classes. They were disproportionately boys. And I think that it was a group of students who said, you know, I just really need to be in person. I can't start my freshman year doing distance education. They're probably a high percentage of kinesthetic learners who just need to be engaged with materials and work with other people. As we come back to a more normal operation in the fall, we need to enroll those students and get them on track.
And so there's outreach that will be happening.
Yes, we are. We don't call it the Lost Boys. They came up with something else that they liked better. but it is a strategy to get those students enrolled this coming fall. And I'm actually really worried about these classes that have graduated during the pandemic, because they don't have a guidance counselor with them. They don't have college enrollment night. We're not out there with our recruiters talking to them about college being possible and the doors that are going to open for them with a college degree. I really worry about those students.
Yeah, that engagement's so important. And the thought is, if they don't come quickly, they may not come at all to
and
the university.
That's something that's I know that early on in the pandemic there were some people talking about a gap year. You know, a gap year works for middle and upper class kids. It does not work for the kinds of students that we serve here. If a student does not enroll in some kind of continuing education their fall after they graduated from high school, 99% of those students never get a credential. And it's really important for students to continue on and gut it out and get that credential. It is life-changing for them.
It is, and for their families and for this community.
It is. And it's really interesting to look at the data. And I did before I came here. When you look at some college or above as a measure of the education level of a workforce, El Paso is the second most educated city in Texas. That has changed in the last 20 to 30 years. So El Paso has gone from being a primarily blue-collar manufacturing town 30 years ago through a tremendous change brought by NAFTA and the move of the manufacturing plants to the Mexican side of the border. So there's a decline in manufacturing jobs. But the community became a college-going community. It's very unusual for that to happen without, you know, it happened in the south side of Chicago, but that's because of gentrification. And it's because the people who lived there moved away and others moved in. Here, this community created a college-going culture as the pathway to opportunity, the ticket to a dream for a family. And it now has the highest percentage of students who graduate from high school going to college of any region in Texas. That is still not good enough, because it's still not high enough for the jobs that, you know, 90% of the jobs created since 2008 require some post-high school degree. And we've got to get our students and our high school graduates keeping on.
Part of the plan is to, and that's always tough, but to look ahead. And you talked about that. What do you want to see? What does university, all the people who provided input, what do you hope? And this can also be not just for UTEP, but also shape the future of higher education beyond our region.
So a strategic plan is about our mission, and our mission includes teaching and research and service, like any public research university. And so our goals are tied to that mission: teaching, learning, and the student experience, advancing discovery, community impact, and public service. But then there was a goal that was a little different, and it really has to do with, you know, one of the things that really came out of this strategic planning effort was UTEP really is America's leading Hispanic-serving university. And that's the title of our strategic plan, and people's willingness to both embrace that and to as a responsibility, not just as a description, but as a responsibility. And what that really means is that we have a responsibility to shape the future of higher education in America as the demographics of America change. We are one of 16 universities in the country that, when it comes to research, are in the top 5% of universities and are Hispanic-serving institutions. Interestingly, I've met with all 16 of us as presidents get together virtually. That's one of the advantages of the pandemic. We've been able to connect. And we're creating a coalition of Hispanic-serving research universities. Fascinating to me is most of them became Hispanic. They were research universities that gradually increased their Hispanic enrollment, or the demographics around them changed. UTEP is the only one that was a Hispanic-serving university that became a top-tier research university. We are much more mature as a Hispanic-serving university than many of our peers. And so there's a lot that we can share with others to promulgate knowledge about how to serve first-generation college students, the barriers that are there, the things that work. So shaping the future of higher education in America was something that's embraced in this strategic plan, which I didn't really anticipate in the beginning, but which I'm glad the team kind of came to that point. And it was quite a difference from the beginning. And as you know, sometimes the important part about a strategic plan is the planning, not the plan. And people started to realize, you know, something, we really are. And as opposed to, and I heard some people say this when I first came here, of the, well, we're just UTEP. I said, what does that mean? You know, knock that off.
Yeah. Sometimes don't realize the strengths that are inherent. Like you said, our students who are dual language, bilingual, bicultural, binational.
Yeah.
These are real assets.
That is a strength. And so some of the things that when you talk through them that some people – so, for example, one of the initiatives in our strategic plan has to do with improving the student experience for those living on campus. Well, initially there was this, well, you know, we're really just a commuter school. Well, that's true. 90% of our students do not live on campus. You realize that there are universities all over the country that are trying to create an intimate – on-campus experience while also having access to a top-tier research university. This can be a strength. So how do we build on our strengths and recognize them for what they are? And so that was also probably a realization coming through this process.
The learning experience, but also that campus college experience
exactly.
is so important.
Exactly. And when you have... you know, 1,000 to 2,000 students living on campus. You've got the benefits of a small liberal arts college community experience with a class one research university that you get to go to school at. That's a strength. So a student doesn't have to choose between having access to a fantastic top tier biology program and knowing everyone in their dorm.
You talked about the family. Community that really is a binational cross-border, mm-hmm. and we have internet where they may be called international students, but they're local students for mm-hmm. us. It's been tough during the mm-hmm. pandemic because of the travel restrictions mm-hmm. at the border. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, even people trying to come back and forth to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now we've got graduation, which is a great celebration, but I'm hearing from students who say their family members who normally could have crossed with their mm-hmm. documents are now not able to.
So it has been an issue, though not for students coming to class, although we've had particular cases where we then have to reach out. We have a very good liaison relationship with the Border Patrol as well as the consulates in both Juarez and here in El Paso. Remarkably close, probably close. And you think about it, most universities have to deal with I-20s and international students like twice a year. We do it several times a day, right? So we're pretty good at it. I am concerned about, and it's not just the families. We've had this commencement we're going to have in May will include anyone who graduated in 2020. Well, we're now working with our graduates whose visas may have expired so they can come back for their own graduation. We're working with the consulate. We're working with Customs and Border Patrol to try to make that possible. We want not only our graduates to be here, but their families to be able to come to see them graduate. And we will do everything we can. I have to say that we're dealing with federal government restrictions and everything else, but we will do everything we can to make it possible for people to celebrate that day.
And it's a big celebration that's been postponed. But so it looks like there may be some possibilities working with the...
We are gathering the names of students who have family, parents particularly, who would like to cross to come to commencement, and we're working directly with the consulate to try to make that possible. It's, as you can imagine, the amount of red tape involved in that is pretty significant, but we have a liaison here at the university who's working with the consulates and trying to make this possible, and knowing everyone in their dorm.
Let me ask you about another challenge that's modern day, the cyber intrusion that UTEP had to cope with.
We detected an intrusion on the 5th of March, and the team did the right thing, which is shut it down, call in one of the best companies in the country that we have a contract with through the UT system, and restart cleaning things and checking things as we go. It's very disruptive, but it's the right way to do it when you detect an intrusion. And the good news is that our administrative servers, you know, we have like we have 529 administrative servers on our campus. Every one of them was backed up 4 hours before the intrusion took place. Our desktops largely defended themselves. We had updated, you know, regular updates of antivirus software and so forth, and none of the laptops were affected. And everybody, almost everybody was, you know, I had a laptop at home. So it was disruptive, but we were able to get the teaching and learning system back up the Monday. It happened on a Friday. Teaching and learning was back up on a Monday. Email was a pain and didn't get back up for about, 4 or 5 days, But it really highlighted the importance of good cyber hygiene and backing stuff up and updating the virus software and putting patches on stuff.
And any personal information? I know that was a concern.
No, that was the good thing. We kept checking all the way through our recovery. No personally identifiable information was accessed, and no data was exfiltrated, as they say, so nothing stolen. They handled it. The team in information resources handled it pretty well. There were some individual faculty who were affected, but I've met with each of those.
And moving forward, obviously learn from what happened and
strengthen. Yeah, we'll
strengthen.
Do a short review to make sure we don't lose any of that knowledge gained as we go through it. But then we also know that the federal government is changing some of its rules and how we accredit ourselves for cyber. So we'll probably put together a team and do a really good, solid review over the next 18 months, because we're going to have to anyway, so we might as well use this as a kind of a launching point for that. Cybercrime is a big business, and we fend off about 20,000 attacks every month from our systems. Yeah. And patch with more and more things. You know, every app you have on your phone is a piece of software, and there are vulnerabilities in it. And we patch between 500 and 1,000 vulnerabilities every month, too. So we are a software-enabled world, and there are bad people out there who will try to take advantage of that. So
that's the big news right now. And part of the plan for UTEP is more community engagement.
Yeah.
We had someone come on staff as the new head coach for the men's basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Very engaging. Talk
Joe
to me
Golding.
About it.
He came to us from Abilene Christian University, where he really built a program from a Division II program to Division I, all the way to the NCAA. And he's got a good record of recruiting students. We were looking for a man of integrity who could run a program, who could help students, you know, recruit the kind of students that he needed for a team, but help all of them develop. He's very high energy and very eager to engage the community and pack the Don and make basketball events just a really fun thing to do. And this, you know, UTEP is a basketball school in a lot of ways. The Sun Bowl Stadium for football is hard to beat too, but the legacy of this school in the 1966 team and the engagement of the community in sports here, UTEP is it, right? It's not like we have professional sports teams that people go watch. They come and want to cheer on the Miners. And so we're really glad to have him.
The strategic plan talks about advantages, but I'm sure you've got some concerns, some challenges ahead. What are the things that are happening now and looming on the horizon?
One of the challenges, to be sure, is the demographics of the region. So UTEP is now 25,000 students or so, so we're larger than the University of New Mexico. We're almost twice the size of New Mexico State. So it's a very large research university. But we know that the number of 18-year-olds in this region is kind of flat, and in about 5 years it'll start to decline a little bit. Interestingly, we're the largest university in this very large region, but we also have never really recruited outside of El Paso, which is very unusual for a university of this size. A more natural primary recruiting area would be about a 200-mile radius. So part of our strategic plan is to both deepen our enrollment in this region, start connecting with juniors in high school, and really intensify our focus to get students to come to college, and then expand outward and into West Texas, southern New Mexico as primary areas, but also beyond that for some specialized programs. Texas is growing over the next 20 years, primarily in eastern Texas. We have some programs where students really should have UTEP in their top 3 to 5 schools, even if they are in Houston. So for some of our programs, we should be recruiting from further away, from eastern Texas, from Tucson, from Southern California. If you're in Southern California and you want to go to a top-tier engineering school, it's hard to get into the California engineering schools. We will accept you here because we are an open access school. We don't limit the number of students who are admitted for engineering, and that is different. UT Austin will not admit students to its engineering school after a certain number have been accepted. We will grow our school to meet the need, and that's different. So I think we can offer an exceptional education and a great value, and we'll be telling that a little bit more broadly.
And when you talk about expanding regionally, we obviously have plenty of students coming from our immediate area in Mexico, but can go deeper into Chihuahua and beyond, I imagine.
We do. UTEP has more Mexican national students than any other university in America. And one of the things that has to do with leveraging our place, we have this great English language program here. We want to start a center for bilingual education here, the neuroscience of bilingualism. Where else can you study that, right, in America? But we think that this should be the gateway to higher education for more students from Latin America, whether they want to study at UTEP or whether they just need 3, 6, 9, 12 weeks of intensive English before they go on to another university, we should be the gateway. We've always been a gateway. And so this is a gateway linguistically as well. But we will be deepening our recruitment, particularly in the state of Chihuahua. It's different recruiting there. We have to think about it differently. It's not the same way it's done in the United States. But if there's any university that can do it, it's us.
That's great. Concerns about, all universities, you mentioned enrollment, but also funding can be, we've had a tough year and, states are looking at how they're going to balance their budgets.
Mm-hmm. And we're watching pretty closely the activity in Austin to try to make sure that we keep the base funding for higher education. Public funding for higher education has declined in every state in the union in the last 20 years. And in some ways, I could understand it. There have been other things that have crowded out higher education, K-12 education, the cost of health care and Medicaid. And I think there's always that feeling I'm a former legislator myself, and this is the third state where I've dealt with state legislators, and the impacts and the dynamics are the same. If you're a state legislator, there are other sources of funding for higher ed, and particularly tuition and fees. But what that causes is the cost of an education has increasingly shifted to families and away from taxpayers in the community as a whole. And we have lost that sense of higher education being a benefit not just for an individual, but for a community. We all benefit because there are trained nurses in our community when we're sick, because there's a well-educated teacher for our children to go to school. Because a kid who looks like he's 15 decided to become a pharmacist and can give you a shot. We live better lives because we live in an educated community. And the burden of that education cannot just fall on the parents and the students to get through a college degree. We have an obligation to try to keep college affordable. And it's good for all of us if college is affordable. And so that means that we need continued public funding so that some of our tax dollars go to make sure that that kid can make it through and graduate from pharmacy school and be there when you need it.
Well, that's a great place to wrap things up. But I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anything else you'd want to highlight?
The one thing we didn't talk much about is advancing discovery. You know, research universities like UTEP not only teach things, we also discover new things. So our faculty are always pushing out the boundaries of knowledge in their own fields. And it's one of the things that makes a research university such a special place to be. I think the other thing that makes it wonderful at UTEP is so many of our students are employed here and engaged in research. It's one of the things we find, particularly for first-generation students, if they're involved in research, they're much more likely to graduate because the answer's not in the back of the book. They're discovering new things. And the curiosity to be able to discover new things is just, it's magnetic. And so we will continue to drive the boundaries of knowledge. And that'll be an exciting part of the next 10 years.
Yeah, the research and some of the research is desperately needed now, whether it's antiviral drugs or things that were shifted to deal with our healthcare concerns immediately.
And we have a great biology program here. We're deepening our partnerships with Texas Tech and with the hospitals on the other side of the border on health disparities. There are some diseases that are disproportionately affect those who are of Mexican or Hispanic heritage. Where else can you study those? So the Border Biomedical Research Institute here at UTEP is one of the nation's leaders in that field, in cancer research particularly. But specialty materials, embedded electronics and materials, advanced manufacturing, aerospace, transportation. We're part of a major consortium of universities that's doing research on the next generation of transportation. Think about this. If we go to batteries, you have to have really, really efficient batteries. But what if the recharging system was embedded in the highway itself? See, you don't have to stop for gas. And you think about it, oh, well, I don't want to have to stop for 30 minutes in T or C and recharge my vehicle. What if when you're driving on the highway, the recharge system is embedded in the concrete of the highway so you never have to stop? Well, I'd have to stop for a Diet Coke anyway, I guess. But so we're part of doing that research, and engaging students in that research is just a wonderful part of being UTEP.
Thank you, UTEP President Heather Wilson. View the strategic plan at utep.edu/strategic plan. Thanks to Sam Cassiano, our audio engineer for this program, and thank you for listening. Louis Signs is back next week. I'm Angela Kocherga. Have a wonderful weekend.
Support for local production of The Weekend on KTEP comes from the estate of Maxie Templeton.